where we hear from you. We're going to start with a comment on our last episode. This is from C. This is always great and wonderful and awesome, and listening to the pod always helps me focus when I'm drawing my fan art. So thank you for that. But I can't get over how Alex's voice sounds like Mary Elizabeth McGlynn's reading love letters to Steve. Oh my God, my two true passions. Hint, search Silent Hill 3 Sun on YouTube and listen to it. If you told me they are the same person, I'd believe you. As usual, thank you for your wonderful work. All right, so we took your advice. And we're all going to listen to Silent Hill 3 right now and see what everybody thinks. Do you think that this sounds like Alex?
In the beginning, people had nothing. Their bodies ached, and their hearts held nothing but hatred. They fought endlessly, but death never came. They despaired, stuck in the eternal quagmire.
I gotta say, it really does sound a lot like her.
It really does. And now I want to WhatsApp Alex and ask her just to say the word quagmire to me in her super sexy voice.
Yeah, that might be
needed.
She's going
to be like, Bethy, what the fuck are you doing?
But but yeah, no, you're right. That has a definite Alex bend
Alex
to
Jameson
it.
Alex Jameson vibe, yeah.
Yeah, there's a unique tone that they're both going for and nailing, I will say.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, so thank you, C. That is lovely and true.
We also talked a little bit on the, in terms of interacting with the lovely Potslandia. We had a quick poll on the server about what creature fix people on the server enjoyed. And we gave a couple options. And honestly, these are the ones I could remember off the top of my head. So this was not like super scientific.
Because we're normally super scientific with these surveys.
Listen, I have a rep to uphold.
Yeah, I had a rep to uphold before this whole thing started too.
Fair. So these are the ones I could think of off the top of my head. So werewolf, vampire, tentacles. And I included both as aliens and like Octotony. Cat shifter, mer people, and then another one I didn't think of, and then we gave people an option to say, creatures are a no for me, flare it, I'll be giving this episode a pass. And I will say that nobody said they'll be giving the episode a pass. We did hear from several server members that creatures aren't for them, but interestingly, they all still wanted to listen. So we'll be really interested to hear what you guys' reaction is to us waffling on for a good chunk about fics you don't read. So really, really curious if we bored you or if it was still interesting.
Or maybe this is going to be your opportunity to try something new.
Yeah, always. Maybe we convinced you to try one of these, which would be great. But across the board, like, these were all pretty even. Werewolf won, but not really by much. And then tentacles, then vampires, then cat shifters, then merpeople. But, like, all really, really close.
Yeah, it was, like, within six people. So that's a very narrow spread, especially compared to other spreads we've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that people who like creatures tend to sort of like all creatures.
Yeah, that makes sense. There was a couple when people got into chat about it that they were like, well, I really like this, but I don't like this. And one of the things they brought up that I hadn't really ever thought about, but I thought was fascinating, and I could be wrong, but I think this was a conversation between Jay and HT. So forgive me, friends, if I am incorrect. But it was like do you assume in a creature fic that creature is a shifter, or do you assume that they're always that creature? And so if it's a human creature fic, is the creature sometimes a human too?
For me, I would not go in with any assumptions whatsoever. I would expect the story to inform me if they were a shifter or a pure creature of some kind.
Yeah, but I found when I was reading that, I was like, huh, when I say I love creature fic, I think what I am saying is I love shifter fic.
Huh. For me, shifter is a smaller subcategory of creature fic that I treat separately.
That's fair. I don't read I hadn't read Happy Lights before this. You brought this into my life for this episode. Yeah. And I don't tend to read like the tentacle fics that I have read are more like title pull where right. It's a, you know, that kind of thing. So this could just be one of those, like, I'm still new in fandom and I need to be exposed to.
Yeah. Like an exposure thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a aversion. I think it's an exposure situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to explore, that like, do people conceptualize preacher fic and shifter fic as different genres? Do people think that they're Venn diagrams, that one's inside the other? And, you know, and interesting things like, I think I would use the word shifter specifically for category fics where you're going to tell me what kind of shifter they are. So there's like, or, you know, they could be a cat shifter, or they could be like a dragon shifter or a seal shifter or something. And then weirdly, I consider werewolf as kind of a separate category, I guess, because it has like very established concepts and tropes that are attached to werewolves. Whereas shifter for me is a much more open fantasy category where you can do pretty much anything you want in it.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was, I mean, speaking of fantasy, like they, a couple people brought up that we didn't even bring into some of those more supernatural, like kelpies and, you know, some fairy tale kelpies. Kind of creatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elves and things like that. And that's true. Like we went really much more animalistic creatures in a way.
Yeah, and we wanted to focus on the kinksploration aspect for this episode, but I'm sure that fantasy is a concept we're going to explore more in further episodes.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, just a little inside baseball here, like, I do enjoy reading merpeople fics. I don't really read them where it's like fishtail sex with a human.
We were actually trying to find one, if you know of a fic where a mermaid has sex with a human without changing into a human first. I'm very curious and I would love to read it.
Yeah, also, we just have some real questions about mechanics. Yeah. So, like, very legitimately, we're not sure how that would work. So merpeople maybe didn't fit in our kinksploration episode, but I can happily talk at length about why I'm super into the idea of a man who can breathe underwater. So
Oh yeah. So there's still a lot to explore in creatures. This was definitely a toe in the water.
Yes, a like, I almost just said potpourri. That isn't the word I was going for. Like, an, what the heck, Flame? Just kind of like an appetizer course for future.
Is that
maybe that's what I was going for? It is. Oh, as we record this, it is rapidly approaching Flame bedtime.
Yeah.
And you guys, whew,
you get the best of us every time.
The loopier I get, I don't even need booze to be loopy.
I am 100% sober tonight, which I can't say about every single episode we've recorded.
That's true. I am 100% sober, but I have had a lot of ice cream and I am very sleepy.
So. Yeah.
Well,
let's finish off community talks by soliciting a little bit more talking from the community. We have a question for you. We want you to hit up our Stony Secret anonymous submission form, which we will link in the show notes, but you could also send us an ask on Tumblr if you wanted to, or even leave a comment. But we would like to know, what's a kink you thought you didn't like or swore you'd never read, and then a specific fan work changed your mind? Maybe it was a piece of art you saw that made you go, oh, that's interesting. Or is a fic you read because you really liked the author, so you thought you'd give something new a try. Or maybe you just hadn't been exposed to that many kinks and it was the first time you'd ever seen it at all. If possible, we'd love for you to link us to the fan work if you can find it, or if you can't, maybe describe it a little bit. But we sort of want to hear about those formative kink experiences that you had in fandom.
And if you're looking to explore writing them yourself, good news for you is that perhaps our event, the Stuckoni Summer Stockings, would be a place to do that. And so we're going to talk about that event in our next segment.
So as we introduced last week, we're doing another little segment in our minis for the next little while called Life of an Event, where we give you a rundown of the behind-the-scenes process of running an event. And our specific event is Stuckoni Summer Stocking. We'll have a link to it in the show notes, but you can check us out on Tumblr and AO3. So in the last 2 weeks since we talked to you guys last, we've opened up signups, which is really exciting.
Dun, 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 dun.
We're up to 35 prompts, which is awesome.
Uh-oh!
I'm really excited by how many people are interested. That's a great turnout for an event like this, especially for its very first time running. And there's still a little time left for people to sign up, so we might see more.
That is so great.
But yes, this part of the segment, we wanted to talk a little bit about what that's been like and what we're excited about and what we're worried about and what the feedback's been like. So far, we haven't had a lot of questions. There's been a few people sending in asks, but mostly things have been pretty quiet. So I'm hoping that that means that while the instructions seem a little overwhelming when you just read them straight up, if you actually sit down and try and fill out the sign up and you have the instructions there with you, it's not as overwhelming as it looks like it is. And my hope is that because we haven't got a lot of questions, I can assume that that was most people's experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a couple direct asks on Discord. And the real point of confusion, and I think this is just a, if you've never done a stocking event, this is not something that is easy to quite grasp, is the idea that everything remains completely anonymous until we reveal. And it's not, and not even anonymous, but also hidden. Like,
yeah,
you're going to post your fic on August 1st, maybe, but no one is going to see it at all until September 25th when we reveal everything. And that's different than like a bang fic that you submit ahead of time or an exchange fic. And that seems to be something that people are having a hard time keep wrapping their brain around. And I don't know if that's because we didn't explain it well or because that's just a weird quirk of a stocking.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a stocking event where that wasn't the case. I think that people are used to with the idea of an exchange, people are used to you work on it, you give your one piece close to the date, and shortly thereafter it is revealed. But because the stockings are open to be filled as much as people want whenever they want, it's harder to conceptualize that we're just going to be collecting all of these fics in secret throughout the entire couple of month period, and then at the end they will all become available.
Yeah, and somebody asked me why we did it that way, and I said for me that you and I hadn't really ever discussed why we were doing it. This was just how we always knew we were going to do it. But for me, people get in their heads so quickly about other fics. Sometimes one of the beauties of a stocking is that anyone who puts up the stocking is grateful for any filler in it at all.
Yeah.
But if somebody turns in like something that, you know, you perhaps like if, you know, if I was just a wee little flame, and I was trying to fill Ashy's stocking and you put something in, I might be like, oh, but Ferret did it already. And yeah, she doesn't need my fill. And I would 100% believe that. And yet Ashy's on the other end going, I want everything you'll give me.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're trying to keep this as even in a way so that none of us get into mind games with ourselves, because a stocking is one of the ultimate more cake events.
Yeah. But it's also like, I mean, it's based on the idea of a Christmas stocking where you come, you know, on Christmas morning, you'd open your stocking and it has lots of presents in it, which you open all at once.
Yeah.
So there's this idea that it's more fun for someone to give you a big box full of multiple fics than to have fics trickle out at random when you're not expecting it over a couple of months. So that's part of the idea too. It also means that we get to finish basically with a party where everybody's getting all of their gifts at the same time. And we get to reveal them all at the same time, celebrate them all in a big run, and make it kind of part of the event. And we are going to do the treats on Tumblr at the same time as well. So this is going to be, it's going to be a big thing.
Is going to be a whole thing. And I am scrolling through the signups and I'm really excited at all of the names I don't know.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, this is getting me into a lot of new people, which is really exciting.
Which is super fun. I mean, lots and lots of favorites, lots of people I knew were going to sign up because they're also as into these three idiots as we are. But some really new faces and I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's nice to find some new ways to connect with Stokoni fandom specifically, because you and I both spend a lot of time in Stony and I really like meeting people. So that's awesome.
Yes, true. And I just love that people that love this fandom.
The late reveal question also came into play when we got another ask recently about if the fix could also be used for other events like bingos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to talk about this because we have differing opinions.
Yeah.
And this was a case where we made a decision based on what we thought was best for the event and kind of a compromise versus, you know, us both having very strong feelings about something and therefore doing it that way.
Yeah.
So personally, I have a personal thing where I do not like when gift fics that were made expressly as a gift or gift fan works of any kind are used for other things. It's just something I don't do. If I make a gift for someone that's in an exchange or a stocking thing like this or something like that, for me, it has to be made entirely for that person. And if I have another event pulling the strings at all, then it doesn't feel like I made it for that person. So I have
feel that way at all.
Yeah. And I know very few people feel the way that I do. Most people, it does not bother them. And that's totally fine. I can totally understand how it wouldn't be. I don't know how I developed that thing, but it's a thing that I have. So my preference is always not to use gifts for other things, but the official stance of the event is that as long as people have in good faith made the thing as a gift for that person, if it also happens to fill other requirements for other events, they're welcome to do that if the other event allows it. But I think the thing that will most prevent people from being able to do that is the fact that, as we said, you're not going to be posting it to be revealed to the public until September, and it's not going to be revealed who wrote it until October. So it's a ways away, and you won't be able to put any identifying information in it when it first gets posted. This can be kind of a conflicty thing with the way most bingos are run.
Yeah, really what we've come down on is, if we're completely honest, we don't recommend it.
It might be hinky administration wise.
Yeah, like, you're going to stress us out. We're going to stress you out. We're going to stress your other bingo people out. Like, just by the nature of a stocking, it's just a little bit more challenging. Now, if this is for, like, I know we're both in Starbucks, right? You're in Starbucks too?
Yeah.
That deadline's like New Year's Eve. So if you want to write for that and then not just do any of the admin until November, mazel tov, we're okay with that.
Yeah, but if this is for the event is fine with it, we're okay with it.
We're okay with it. But if you've got a bingo that wants you to post in September, we are not your event to cross post with.
Yeah. And that also kind of the stressing about people doing things. This conversation also led us to think about something more critically than we'd really given it enough thought before. Maybe like this was something that we'd thought of, but we hadn't really dug into it enough before. And this is the idea that with having everything contained to AO3, the way that prompt memes work on AO3, you can't actually directly contact people through their AO3 email. So if you run a challenge collection that's an exchange, then you have options for being able to contact people to tell them, for instance, that they did something wrong in their sign up or something like that. But we had two problems with that. We couldn't ask people to make their email address part of their sign up because the sign up is completely public. There's no like secret area where people could just tell us what their email address is, and a lot of people don't want that shared publicly. And there's no direct way through AO3 to get in touch with people. There's no PM system, and there's no like email button where you don't get to see the address, but you still get to email them. So it is possible that people will sign up and they'll do something wrong in their sign up. They'll have an issue that needs to be resolved, and we will struggle to contact them. And we did try to mitigate that a little bit by saying in our instructions, hey, we're not going to be able to contact you unless you give us more contact information. There's a section on the form you can put, like, put your Tumblr, your Twitter, your Discord, your email, whatever you do not mind sharing publicly, and then we'll be able to dig up a way to get in touch with you. But if you don't, we'll have to delete it if you're sign up doesn't fit the requirements. But it made us realize that when fills come around, we're going to have the same problem. All we're going to have is the fill itself. We won't have any contact information for people. And the problem with that is that there's a real tragedy if somebody does a fill and they've got a very small thing that prevents us from being able to accept it. Like, they accidentally put identifying information in the author's notes, which is very easily fixed, or they forgot a major tag, or maybe they tagged something wrong, or, you know, something like that, that means we can't put it in someone's stocking. And if we could just get in touch with them, we could say, hey, you just, you know, you tagged this with the wrong relationship, or you gave this to the wrong claim, like you clicked the wrong person's name when you claimed this, or you can't put your beta's name in the author's notes just yet. we want to be able to get in touch and say that so people can fix it, very easy fix, and they'll be able to have their peace accepted. It would be a shame for someone to put all that work in and then something little like that held them back. So we talked about it, you know, how do we get contact information from people in a safe way, how to blah, blah, blah. And what we're currently thinking about right now is that we'll have a form in the instructions that we encourage people to use where they can tell us what their AO3 name is, what their, and then how they would like us to get in touch with them. And we're going to ask everybody that does a fill to fill that out just once so that we have some way of getting in touch with at least most people. And hopefully that'll mitigate some of that potential disaster.
Yeah, because as of right now, everybody who has signed up for a stalking has added their socials, which is great.
It's awesome.
And we're incredibly grateful. And if you are one of those people, yay, thank you. Gold stars. But one of the also beautiful things about a stalking instead of an exchange is that if you're not somebody who felt like signing up for a stalking, but you want to fill everybody's, then that's part of this. So I think the sheet is going to be great. We know it might seem really onerous or
a little clunky.
Clunky or like big brothery, but honestly, it's because we all make those mistakes. I've submitted things to a secret exchange and put my username right on it. Like,
yeah,
slip. It's really simple to do.
I've run like maybe 6 events where people had to be anonymous, and I've never had one where nobody needed to be told, oops, you just can't do that, or could you just fix this one thing to make their piece work.
And especially in an event like this, where it is about a triad, and there are not a whole lot of events that are about triads, we're aware too that there may need to be some conversations about, well, this person's ask was specifically to end in Stuckoni, and the work that you've done is beautiful, but we're not entirely sure it did. So could you add another paragraph or another line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there may be some, and for additionally, this may also be some people's first event. If Stuckoni's their primary ship and there hasn't been a lot of Stuckoni events for them to participate in, this might be the first time they've done something like this at all. So just the logistics of it, we may need to guide some people through it.
Which we want to do. And we are trying to make this not like no barrier to entry, because if something is no barrier to entry, it never works well. You need boundaries and rules of any event to make things work. But we do want to make it not onerous, and which is why we're, as mods, willing to put in the work and want to put in the work to guide people through it, which is another reason why we're having these conversations with you guys.
Yeah.
So you can hear how intentional we're being about all of this.
And so that if you have an interest in running an event yourself, you can see some of the conversations that might have to happen behind the scenes. So we have one more week for signups. So next time we talk to you guys, we'll have closed signups and we'll have reviewed all the signups to make sure that everything is shipshape and ready to go for fills as well. So that process will be something that we talk about next time on Life of an Event.
Hi, fandom. This is Only More Love, back once again to share what's happening, challenge-wise, in a Marvel fandom near you. As usual, I have a little note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. There's lots of fun stuff coming up, so let's talk about some of it. Marvel fans for BLM ended last weekend, so it's now time for bidders and creators to contact each other, and for all bystanders to get their popcorn ready for all the marvelous creations that will drop from now until January 31st. The Tiny Reverse Bang submission period has ended. It's now time for writers to get their heads into the game and prepare to create fics for the gorgeous pieces that were submitted. There are about 3 weeks left to join the illustrious war between fluff and angst for the Steve Tony games. More info is available on the community's Dreamwith page, their Tumblr, or even on Discord, as a fair number of us are participating. 3 days left to sign up for the new round of the MCU Kink Bingo, which closes on July 21st. Cards will go out on August 1st, and the round will go on until January 30th. Flarets brought us a new event, the Stuckoni Summer Stockings. From July 11th through 25th, Create your stocking by writing up your likes and desires. Fluff fix, kid fix, angst, AUs, A/B/O, whatever you want, as well as what you do not want. Stocking stuffing will then go on from July 25th through September 25th. Creators stuffing stockings will remain anonymous until the end of the event. And for non-AO3 treats, there will be a week dedicated on the event's Tumblr. Also continuing are signups for the second round of the Iron Husbands Bingo. Cards are going out already, and this round will run until January 31st, so there's plenty of time to give our MIT boyfriends all the love. Today is the first day of posting for Steggy Week. It will go on until July 26th, has no minimum requirements, and is open to any type of fan work the prompts inspire you to make. The Stucky Bingo signups remain open until August 31st. The round itself will go on until May 31st, 2021, with master posts expected June 6th, 2021, for a whole year of Stucky creations. Signups for the Ladies of Marvel Bingo are still going on and will stay open until July 31st, with cards going out on August 5th. This round of the Cap IM Bingo ends July 31st. Time to get your last fan works in, or to prepare for a new round. The Sun and Storm in Every Blossoming Comment Fest for Black MCU characters on Dreamwidth, the Cap IM Comment Bingo, Cap IM Kink Meme, and Lights on Park Avenue, as well as the Starker Festival's Starker Summer Bingo, are still open for participant signups and or contributions. And the links to all of these are still in our show notes of the past episodes. The Cap IM Big Bang Discord chats are also happening on the same rotation of 2 weeks. That's it for today's events forecast. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next episode. Until then, be well and happy shipping.
Hello, fandom. This is Kat, and I'm here to update you once again on the ongoing Steve Tony games. Another 2 weeks have passed and a lot has happened. There are 3 weeks left to go for the games. Before I continue, here's a quick reminder of how the games work. Both teams share a bingo card and create works for the prompts. Creating for prompts that are marked as typically belonging to the other team earns you double points. There are also several bonus prompts you can include to maximize points. And best of all, you don't need to sign up and can create for both teams if you want. We also just started the comment bingo part of the Steve Tony games, so even if you don't create fan works, you can earn points for your fills. Simply comment on works of the team of your choice that form a bingo and claim the points. You can find a link to the comment bingo rules in the show notes of this episode. I am recording this on Friday, and the current scores are 1,677 to 1,434 for Team Fluff. If you want to see the current score more often than our once-a-week scoreboard posts, you can join our Discord or check out the official Phil's spreadsheet, which comes with links to all the wonderful creations you've made. There have been 44 Phil's since we last talked, putting us at 208 Phil's in total at the moment. Right now, Team Angst has 15 bingos and 2 blackouts, while Team Fluff is ahead with 18 bingos and 3 blackouts. The number of universes works have been created for has also risen. Team Fluff currently has works in 40 canon non-main universes, and Team Angst has 31. This means that Team Fluff is very close to the 50 universe achievement, and both teams have managed the 25 universe bonus. Both teams have completed all fanwork type bonus prompts and thus have also achieved all bonus extra prompts, leaving the only team achievement missing for both teams the 50 different universes. If you're not sure if the fanwork type you like to do is accepted, don't hesitate to reach out to us mods. We love learning about new things. We'd also like to remind you that your creations don't have to be in English. For playlists and fics, non-English works even get a bonus. Since last time, one Russian fic translation has been submitted. Finally, we would like to give another round of shoutouts to the people that created fills for the maximum number of points. Jabby created 2 and Be the Flame 3 fics worth 14 points for Team Fluff. Team Angstus had their first 14-point fill and added by Festive Ferret and Hopeless. Congratulations. This is it from me for now. We'll be back next episode with more Steve Tony Games updates. Until then, happy creating.
And that is a wrap on episode 11. We want to thank Colonel Rogers for the art and for Lunatical, Wilmakins, Lady Shadow Drake for the fix that we featured today. Thanks so much for letting us use them, even though you didn't know we were doing it. But thank you overall for not only this work that you created, but for all the works you've all created for fandom. Big love to the Pottscast staff for all that they do, and to all of you for listening and participating and being so incredibly perpetually kind for us on this.
As we say every episode, we love your feedback. This is your fandom podcast, and we want to make it the best it can be for you. Don't forget about our special Stony Secret question this week about kinks. Send those in and let us know what you think.
So hit us up on Discord, where you all know we both are constantly, via email, through any of the other socials, and then we will see you for episode 12. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.